Hello and welcome to Widnes Rugby Chat episode 47. It's April 2021 and Widnes are four games in to the start of the season. So I thought it was a good time to have a bit of a sit down with Ian Chaveau, rugby league journalist and Widnes person, to have a bit of a back and two between me and himself to share our opinions on the first four games. Thanks as always to the podcast sponsors, who are PD Law Solicitors, Arnold Gorse Financial Management, Parklands FC and Whistle. We'll go straight into the chat with Ian very shortly, but if you haven't checked them out already, please do look back through the four previous episodes, in fact, from this year. Phil Finney interview, Kevin Brown, Willie Iser and Simon Finnegan appear in the first four podcasts of the season. Got some other interviews lined up for future podcasts as well. And as always, if there's anyone or anything you want to hear about, please do leave a comment wherever you're listening to this or indeed on Twitter. And we'll do my best to get hold of those people for those chats. But let's go straight into this call then with Ian Chaveau to talk about Widnes' season so far.
The stamp duty holiday is being extended on all properties until the end of June. So if you're thinking of moving house, make sure you instruct your local solicitors, PD Law, for all your conveyancing needs.
So I'm joined by Ian Chaveau for the first time this season. Ian, you're an out-of-work rugby league journalist because of all the triple headers and double headers and stuff. You're still sort of there or thereabouts, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm still on the periphery, still waiting on the substitutes bench. And it has been a difficult time. It's been a difficult time for everyone. It's been a difficult 12, 15, 16 months, in all honesty, James. Thankfully now we're back on the bus and we're watching the Sub-Rugby League and there's some ability to actually go and see some games live in the flesh. But, you know, with the capacity for rugby league freelancers like myself and others, I should say, you know, getting to games when newspaper staffers can just send their own journalists to cover all these games, it just means people like me are left on the bench with splinters. But we're starting to get lucky now, which is good.
Yeah. So of course we're now three or four weeks into the 2021 season four Widnes. Just have a little bit of a recap over those four games. So it all started with a Challenge Cup win away at West Wales Raiders, 58 points to 4. That was then followed by a 34-10 home win against Whitehaven, also in the Challenge Cup. The first league game of the season ended in a 30-all draw at Newcastle Thunder, and then the Challenge Cup third round game at the weekend where Widnes went down 68 points to 4. Ian, what's been your sort of general thoughts having seen those four games and what it means for where Widnes are at?
I think at the moment, James, I'm a little bit glass half full as far as Widnes is concerned. Obviously, both Widnes people and we want the club to do well. And, you know, I must say that first and foremost, you know, black and white, it is absolutely right for this household, and that's the way it should be, being for Widnes. And I think the Newcastle game was the most disappointing, I would say, from the games that I've seen. Obviously some people could say the Salford result was a spectacular one in terms of the scoreline, but there were some good things about that game which Simon should take, and I'm sure he will take from that. But for me, the Newcastle one, not scoring a point in the second half, I think it was yourself, James, who put a tweet out. It was like going back to the Dennis Bett era. Yeah, which did make me chuckle, actually, because it did feel like it, watching it from the sides. And, you know, to not score a point when you've got the game in full control is very, very disappointing. You know, it almost felt like a loss. And if the players took it a little bit like a loss. So as an opening game, and I think for those Widnes fans who follow my Twitter feed, I was putting out there that Widnes should win that game comfortably. So it left me with a little bit of egg on my face, because I thought that was a game Widnes should have won, and they put themselves in a great position to do it, but didn't bring on the bacon. And in these games, and I can't stress, and I think I've said this on your show a few times, James, that this is a very, very competitive and difficult league. And if Widnes don't come away with points after such a monumental effort in the first half, you know, it's going to slip up. for Widnes Vikings, or certainly in the second half of the season. I think the early game, just recapping on that, I think it was a case of Simon working out his combinations and just getting some game time for the lads, getting some rugby league in the legs. I think that's what we've seen, and you know, certainly the West Wales game was it looked quite a sexy finish, if I can call it that, from Widnes. But you know, you do have to say that the calibre of opposition, you forget about Rangi Chaikson and Gavin Ensign. For me, you know, the quality of the opposition was pretty lacklustre, despite what you may hear on certain radio waves. It wasn't much of an opposition. You know, I would compare West Wales to Sims Cross, you know, 20 years ago when Sims Cross was a very, very good amateur side, you know, winning everything. You know, they would put teams like West Wales to the sword, and even Whitehaven in the Cup at home. And, you know, to me, it was a decent performance. You know, I wasn't dining out too heavily on that. It was a good win, but there are stiffer tests. And for not just going back to where I started with Newcastle, for not to get the points at Newcastle with a lot riding on it, you know, I think was a little bit poor.
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at the West Wales and Whitehaven games, and I think, you know, as much as they looked like comfortable victories, and they were comfortable victories, I think really Widnes ought to have been winning them games by 80 and by 50 rather than by nearly 60 and 30 odd. I think that's sort of the reality of where that was. I mean, the Newcastle game, I think, to me, it wasn't that they didn't score in the second half. It was just the way that with 10 minutes to go, they were 14 points to the good and just managed to sort of squander that position. And, you know, in modern rugby league, it is quite easy. Well, not easy, but teams do build momentum when they score, don't they? You know, all it takes is you score a try, you get the ball back, you get a lucky break up field or something, and you can score again. And to be fair, Salford did that. I think if you take out the two periods of the game that Salford did that last week, the scoreline becomes, you know, a lot closer. I think Newcastle, I've seen a few people, I think Newcastle sort of looked better than I thought they would. But
two halfbacks looked good.
Yeah, the two halfbacks were good. They were just busy, you know, they were just lively. They were just always looking to create something, whereas I've not quite seen that in Widnes this season, although, to be fair, they were a lot better against Salford. I'd expect Newcastle to finish mid-table. I don't think they'll be anywhere near the relegation. And some teams will find it tough going up there. But I suppose you're right in terms of it just sets you on a negative tone, doesn't it, at the start of the season? You know, if you'd come away from that game with a win, you know, people, you know, one from one, you know, fairly happy with that. But I just think it sort of opened the door a little bit for people to be a bit disgruntled. And then the Salford, I mean, I've seen a few comments about the Salford game, and you know, the gulf in class between full time and part time is unbelievable now. Like the side, you know, you've got Widnes had Steve Tyree in the back row, and Salford had Paulie.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what Tyree tried his best, but what on earth is he meant to do? He's been playing. He's a part-time championship centre for the past 10 years, and he's got Paulie running at him. And, you know, that's all Salford did, really, you know, especially in the second half. Ikehifo as well. They were just trampling all over. And, you know,
It was a steamroller. It was that train which wasn't going to stop. And and it just kept on going and going and going. And Widnes heads were going lower and lower and lower. You know, it was a difficult afternoon.
If you take they scored 20 odd points in the last 5-6 minutes, and you know, if you take them away and then you take the 18 I think they got in the first half quite quickly, it was probably a bit more, because first half I thought Widnes against Salford, I thought Widnes did well and they deserved to be better. You know, it was 24-4 at half time, and that was pretty harsh on Widnes, I thought.
I agree.
You know, I suppose you know, I was on commentary with John Lawless, and we sort of, if they were playing a championship team, they would have scored a lot more points than they did. But there's a little bit of worry about the goal line defence in both the matches so far, in terms of it looks quite weak. Do you think that's just basically being a consequence of the personnel?
I would say so. I'd like to see when it's a little bit fitter. I must say that, you know, whether that'll come with more games, more rugby league in the legs. But with four games in, he had that run against Warrington, let's not forget, as well. And he'd been having trial matches. I would like to see him a little bit fitter. But I'd like to see a little bit more of some of the more experienced players. And, you know, just to answer your question in terms of the pack, you know, at this moment in time, James, I'm not 100% convinced on what I've seen. And I could be wide of the mark here, and I'm willing to give everyone a good opportunity. Let's see, after six games, seven games, where things are. But, you know, the way some of the tries, witness have conceded and the punching of holes, you know, it does make me think what happens when you go to Yorkshire in those tough games. And we spoke off the podcast in terms of what Widnes have got coming up, and they've got that Yorkshire opposition, and we all know that there can be some big burly lads who like to run very straight, knees and elbows in all money. And so, you know, I have got a few question marks, but, you know, it is early days, and maybe I'm jumping a little bit to conclusions, but I think in the Newcastle game, you've got to look to your experience, and Widnes had experience out there, and he didn't grab the game by the scruff of the neck, you know, with the kicking game. Getting that on point, you know, taking control in the final moments, you know, it was some very, very poor mistakes in decision making. And whether that'll get better with games, I'm sure it will do. But there's still a lot of work to be done, a lot of work to be on the training field as well. I don't know how long Simon's had to work on him. And, let's face it, it has been difficult for everyone, but that kind of adaption to part-time rugby is really looking that way to me, you know, two, three seasons in from the drop from Super League.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tricky one because, you know, like you say, Widnes really haven't had chance to get used to this situation, because, you know, clearly you've got relegated from Super League, you had the administration, then, you know, just about getting back on your feet last year, and then you had COVID, and then this year's a bit abnormal. I mean, we played four games and Widnes have already used 23 players. Now, they only had 26 in the squad to start. Now, obviously, Aribe Doro's being added to that. But I suppose that in itself almost highlights, because, you know, Simon Finnegan's not been, it's not a case of he's deliberately used that many players. It's that he's almost had to, because, you know, Farnworth and Kenny Baker were out for COVID reasons or for isolation reasons. There's been a few knocks here and there. Callum O'Neill, of course, went down in that first game. And, you know, in many ways, well, I mean, without doubt, he's not had a chance to get anything near a first choice team on the park yet. You know, and that was evidenced at the weekend with, you know, Tyra and Jack Owens in the pack. I suppose question marks do remain over some of the new signings in terms of their injury records. But I thought Lee Jewett did really well on Saturday against Salford. I think Paul Clough's been really good in the games in the last two. Matt Cook looked good against Newcastle, but went off injured. And I think if they can keep Cook and Jewett available as long as possible, I think that will make a difference. It's just, I suppose, are they going to be able to do that?
Yeah, well, this is the thing, and it's longevity out with these lads. And, you know, they've been around the block for some time, and you need experience in this division. Absolutely, no, that is a given. And we know in seasons past that has been missing from Widnes's arsenal, if you like. And but with them lads, you know, I may be controversial in saying this, Jane, but I maybe would have liked to see Cook come back a little bit trimmer. You know, he's a very, very good player, and I think he will be good in Widnes colours this year. I'd like to see him get up to full fitness, really. And once he's motoring, and once Stewart's motoring, that gives the pack another dimension. And once Simon gets these lads playing regular rugby, getting used to the systems, getting used to how he wants to run things, I think that's when we'll see the real fruition of some of these lads. Yeah. You know, as I said before, after 6, 7, 8 games, when they understand exactly what Simon's trying to get out of them, that's when perhaps we'll see the best of these lads. And they are good lads. But you know, it's a long, long season. And them lads have had a lot of rugby league in their careers.
Yeah, I think that's you'll probably have seen the same comments as I have. You know, there's a 25-26 man squad, but maybe four of them are rookies, let's be honest. You know, the four lads pulled from the reserves. I mean, Lewis Els was in the first team, around the first team last season. He was a rookie coming into the season. So you've effectively only really got 20 or 21 who've got any sort of professional experience before the start of the season. You know, and I think clearly if Widnes can get the best 1-17 on the park, you know, clearly they've got a decent team, but it's just how frequently is that going to happen? What do you think about the hooker situation now? You know, Logan Tompkins, a massive, massive blow to be missing him. He's on, you know, for me, yeah, he's a key player. You know, I know Jack Owens is the captain and the fullback, but, you know, my belief is that hooker's the key position in the team, you know, in modern rugby league. And
yeah,
certainly Tompkins is up there with the best of them in the championship at least.
Yes,
but do you think it's been a massive error from the club in terms of going into the season without a specialist hooker, or do you sort of cut them some slack as perhaps I do, because of the situation? You know, there's not a plethora of players kicking around that you can get hold of.
Yeah, it's a very good question, a very good point actually, because the way I see it is that I think we have to ask the question, you know, what are Widnes' objectives this year? You know, what is the main objective of the season? If it's to go challenging for Super League and have a rip-roaring season where you're knocking the Toulouses, the Londons and the Featherstones about, then you'd have a hooker for me. You'd have two good hookers. Obviously, we've got one in Logan Tompkins, who can still play Super League, by the way. And you know, you have a good backup. It's a key position, like you rightly say, in the modern game. At the moment, Widnes have got young lads in there, and they're doing a good job. Absolutely, and full credit to them on that. But I understand why the club have gone for that kind of route, and they're trying to put some young lads in, give them some experience, and then mess about with what you've got left. You lads can play in there. You know, for me, one thing I would consider doing, I'm not a rugby league coach, but I've seen enough of it, is that Matty Smith could go into that position, give it a little bit of experience. Because I must say, I've been slightly disappointed with what I've seen from Smith, actually. We all know he's a very, very good player. He's won a lot of things with Wigan, accomplished at Saints, been over to Catalan, he's been around the block, and indeed he's been at Widnes. Many moons ago as a young man, but for me, I've been slightly underwhelmed by him, and I don't know whether it's a combination of him finding his feet again, finding his role in this young team. I think that's something which I think him personally has got to get his head round, and because at the end of the day, from what I've seen in the first couple of games, James, it's probably not been there for me.
I suppose especially when you've got a youngish team as well, you sort of need them experienced ones to step up, you know, even more, don't you? You know, Smith had the kick charge down, didn't he, against Newcastle, which was at the beginning of that little comeback.
Well, they had 5 minutes to get it away, James, as well. You know, Let's not forget that either. He could have put that anywhere.
Yeah. And, I think, obviously, it's a strange one as well, being in the grounds, because you can hear all the calls and all the shouts and stuff. And there's definitely been a few occasions where I've heard Matty Smith be frustrated at the supply from dummy half, whether it's a player's gone the wrong way or whether the pass hasn't been good enough. So you do wonder how much that contributes to it. You know, but then having said that, you know, and yeah, I've seen that frustration, but ultimately it's like, well, it is what it is. You've just got to get on with it. I don't think Danny Craven's being as lively as you'd like. I mean, I still think Craven could potentially be the best player in the division if he wants to be. Do you know what I mean? I think he's got that there. And I actually thought the best period that they had in Newcastle was when Craven got hold of the ball and started kicking it around a little bit. I thought that settled him down. But I sort of cutting him a little bit of a slap because I just wonder how much, you know, I wonder how much they're missing that sort of, the number nine. And I must admit, I thought the same about Smith. It's just whether, I suppose, at his age, whether he wants to be put in the middle and, you know, do all that tackling. You know, is he the best tackler? You know, I don't know.
On Craven, sorry to interrupt you there, James. On Craven, for me, I think the lad's got a decision to make of whether he wants to be a 7 out of 10 every week in the League Express or whether he wants to be the best player in the division, because I believe, like you just said, that he could be the best player in this comp if he wants to be.
He's certainly
matured in terms of his defensive question marks, which he had in Super League. We're not seeing that now in Championship level. Now, Dennis used to talk about him having the best left foot in Super League. Obviously, the lad can kick a great ball, you know. For me, he's got the skills. He's got what it takes in this division to really make a statement. And that's what I would like to see from him, just to say, right, I can be that focal point. I'll be that kind of arrogant number six, you know, demanding things from the team. You know, he's an elder statesman in that squad now. And I just want a little bit more from him. And I know there's plenty to give. And I know it's early days, by the way. And we're talking about this only after a few games of the season, but for me, he's 7 out of 10 every week. But does he want to be a 9 or 10 out of 10 every week? Because he's got the talent.
Do you think there's a seniority issue with having Craven and Smith? So, like, you know, like you mentioned, Craven, you know, is late. You know, and you know, he's experienced now. He's sort of a role model for the young lads and stuff. But I wonder whether he still feels almost, you know, because Smith's there, does Craven still feel like the junior half rather than taking on that responsibility to maybe try and have a bit more authority? You know, I don't know whether that's a thing or not, but I think the way I described it at the weekend, it's almost like at the moment, it feels like all the playmakers in the team are sort of waiting for one of the others to grab it by the scruff of the neck. Do you know what I mean? And what's happening is none of them are.
Yeah, no, I think you're right in that assessment, and you know, I would certainly agree with that. And you know, it takes someone to grab this by the balls, basically, pardon the French. And either Matty Smith or Danny Craven can do it, and you know, Jack Owens can play a part, chiming in for the back. It's just that nine, obviously, you know, being in that's a key position in rugby league, and not having that. You know, you talked about distribution before. If that is an issue for Smith, I'm sure we can get someone who can give a nice, crisp, clean, fast, frizzing ball from dummy half. You know, we surely have got that in Widnes's 26, 27-man squad. You can deliver that pass to him. If he wants an early ball or he wants a quicker play of the balls, then he should be demanding it.
Yeah, you know, and I think Lewis Ells has done well. You know, and you know, Joe Lyons has put his hand up, to be fair to him. You know, in my opinion, there's no way Lyons should be playing hooker, but basically coach has asked him to play there and he's put his hand up, fair play to him, that's what you want. I think, you know, Simon sort of hinted at me at the weekend that they're hoping to bring somebody in at hooker who sounds like it'll be a young player from maybe a Super League team. Just to get that specialism, because I suppose, you know, it'd be one thing Lewis, I think Lewis Ells could potentially do it. But the problem is he's not got a role model, if you like, in the squad, because there's no, you know, it's a bit different if Else was your interchange hooker and you still had Tompkins playing every week. But at the moment, Else is almost like being put into this new position and he's not got anyone to learn off as such at the moment, which I think makes it, you know, makes it tricky for him. Beyond that, I mean, what have you thought about Adam Lawton and where he's come? So he's almost like gone full circle, you know, started off at Widnes, showed a lot of promise and then sort of lost his way, never really found it again, but has come back to Widnes this season.
Adam's a very, very interesting character, isn't he? And I remember the tale down at Widnes, you know, back in the final years of Super League under Dennis, and Dennis was doing a session on the watt bike, and Adam had come back from injury, so it was a few weeks in, and he was doing a session with some of the fitness lads. And Dennis had finished, and I was waiting around to speak to Adam to do an interview with him. And Adam was on the rowing machine, and they were doing some kind of interval training on the rowing machine. And Dennis Betts come over to me, and he was asking me, you know, just a general chit chat, and I was saying, "Oh, how long's Adam?" He said, "Well, Adam, he'll be probably finished on that treadmill in about 2 minutes." So I said, "Well, he's only just got on." And then he said, "Well, exactly." And he said, that's the difference. He said, "It's about the application." He said, "That lad's got bags of talent." He said, "You go up there now." He said, you can watch him as it did and as Dennis predicted. He picked up a load of balls, spiraled past half a dozen of them, did massive kicks, touch finders, you know, 60, 70 yard, 40, 20. It was unbelievable what he was producing. And I thought, this lad has got all this skill. But the one thing which Dennis didn't think he had was the application. And, you know, it's up to Adam now, because he's been around the clubs. He's been in and around some good places. Now he's come back to his hometown club, you know, where his heart is. You know, and he's got a big season ahead of him. You know, does he want to be a Super League player? Because I believe he can be. But it's whether he's got it in between his ears and to put it into his heart on the pitch and in the training field to say, and in the gym, to say whether he wants to do it or not, because he's a very, very good player. But he's a big lad, big unit, bags of talent. He should be smashing his way through some of these weaker defences, in my opinion. I think there's a bit more from him, which Simon will be looking to squeeze out. Cause, you know, he's a big player for Widnes this year, for me. A really big play.
Yeah, I was thinking about this at the weekend. You know, if you've got Grady on one side and Lawton on the other, you know, you've got a bit of size and a bit of, you know, a bit of power out wide. And I just think, you know, clearly if Widnes can get them two in the right place, and I think Grady's shown it actually in the few games so far, that they can cause people problems. I think the thing with Lawton is, He's got the size, like you say. You just want him to absolutely batter through people, don't you? Because he's got, you know, he's carrying, and he sort of showed it a little bit against West Wales. And, you know, you do feel like if he could burst onto a ball, get an arm free, that's what's going to create something, you know, for somebody else. And it is a little frustrating sometimes, because you just sort of, you're almost willing him to do it, aren't you? You know, you're almost willing him to do it. But, you know, Yeah, so that's why you have coaches and stuff. They've got to try and find the best way of getting it out. But, you know, listen, we'll have to see how it goes. I mean, I think I know how you're going to answer, because I've seen a few of your tweets, but, you know, how are you expecting the season to pan out from what you've seen so far?
For me, I think a successful season would be middle table. Obviously, we'd all like Widnes to be punching in the top five and challenging upwards. But I think we have got to be realistic, really. And, you know, I look at the squad and I think, yeah, there is a bit of quality in there. But if the club was pushing for Super League, there'd be a little bit more quality in there because we'd have the money to spend. Like so some of the upwardly mobile clubs have done so. But for, you know, for Widnes, I think middle table is a realistic position for him, and that might not go with the with the grain and the general sway of opinion if we did an opinion poll from Widnes fans. But for me, that is a good season. Build again for next season and keep the club sustainable. We've had an awful lot of up and downs. You know, this year, for me, a successful season would be some really good wins, be competitive, bring some of the young lads through, and then look towards next year and whether that credible Super League push could happen a little bit sooner, i.e. in within 2 years. That would be my ideal season for Widnes, and not rushing it.
I think to be honest, I felt, you know, if Tompkins had been fit and, you know, everyone had been fit, I did genuinely think Widnes probably could have been third or fourth in the league. You know, but based on the first few games, I still think Widnes got a chance of getting that top six for the playoffs. I think,
yeah, you know, I just think at this moment,
say again.
Just at this moment in time, like, you would just say he's better than Widnes. You know, you're certainly looking at Featherstone to lose, and
I think Featherstone and Toulouse will be the, I think they'll be the top two. I think a lot gets said about York, but I don't think they're necessarily as good as people make them out to be. You know, Bradford have been walloped a couple of times already. You know, London got walloped. You know, Halifax and Sheffield, you're never quite sure which side of the coin they're going to be on. So I think there's enough doubt about other teams. I'm sure that fans of other clubs are having this same discussion about, you know, outside of maybe Toulouse, Featherstone and maybe at a push York, I think all clubs are probably in the same boat where they're just not quite sure how it's going to pan out. I mean, for me, you look at, you know, for me, you look at Batley, Dewsbury, Oldham, Swinton, Whitehaven. There's five teams that I think Widnes would finish above. So, oh, yeah. You know, so already you're top eight already. Do you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
You know, you've got to finish above two of those few we've mentioned. And, you know, I still think there's plenty of chance of that. You know, and like you say, I suppose it's just tricky at the moment because of the way the last few years have gone and it's not settled down for anyone. It's almost hard to picture what the path is. You know, clearly the relegation and the administration and, you know, the COVID thing happened, and, you know, now the academy's gone as well.
Yeah.
It's a bit, yeah. I suppose it is a bit like, you can sort of see why people maybe are a bit like, well, what's the plan almost, you know?
Yeah, I just don't think Widnes need to aim for the stars this year. That's my personal and gut feeling on it. I don't think there's any need for Widnes to do that. How about just overachieving? You know, I've said middle table, right? If the club ends up getting in the top five, brilliant. Then they've overachieved.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the way I'd be looking at it. I suppose the thing is,
I guess you're looking at, well, what will change next year and what will change the year after, you know, in terms of, you know, because clearly there's not going to be, you know, there's not going to be the academy anymore. So there's not going to be any players necessarily coming through. That's not to say that there aren't local players who they may pick up. But I suppose it's how do you think they're going to be able to do that progression? Is it going to be a case of making sure whoever's doing recruitment is casting the net far and wide? And, you know, are you recruiting a team that's going to be good in 5 years, or are you recruiting a team that you want to be good this season or next season or whenever? I mean, how do you think it's going to go?
I think the strategy in terms of the academy and recruiting young players is, and we know that there's a lot of them in this town. But I think because now the academy's gone, and it was a major decision for that to go. And let's not forget the people who made it have been absolutely, you know, part of that system for many, many years. You know, for Phil not to do it, an academy, and for people like Roger Addison not to go it all in on the academy and just say we can't do it as a club. You know, those people are highly respected and have done a lot for the town in those areas. So for them to say no to an academy, that was made for the betterment of the club. I wholeheartedly believe that. I think the strategy was at that point, and I still believe it to this day, is that unfortunately we're going to have to let other clubs develop our players. And once the clubs have done with him, i.e. the Super League clubs have done with him, and they've not brought him through, and then they're looking to push him out, offload him, that's when Widnes can get another craving. You know, as someone who was in the St. Helens system, deemed not good enough by him, well, he's good enough for Widnes.
Mm. And I suppose in many ways, it's sort of a little bit alien across these ways because, you know, the Yorkshire teams, there's been part-time Yorkshire teams for years and years, whereas ultimately, because Widnes have been in Super League, there's only really Lee, and Lee have been in Super League and, of course, are in Super League now. So there's not as, it doesn't feel like there's as big of a pool of part-time players kicking around at the moment, which may change as people become familiar with, you know, Widnes being there. You know, if you get cut by Warrington or whatever, you know that Widnes are part-time and you can maybe get a look in there for the following season. But, you know, fingers crossed it all comes together. And of course, you know, I suppose the main thing is get the fans back in the stadium and try and get back to some sort of normality. I mean, I guess, you know, you'll have listened to the podcast with Phil Finney, the first one of this year. And I suppose the good thing for Widnes is the support of the fans means that COVID hasn't been as terrible as it could have been, really.
Yeah, well, you know, the COVID's had a major impact in rugby league and certainly across the community game. So just to get over that hurdle for many clubs, it will seem like a success story this year. We've got the Rugby League World Cup, of course, happening, you know, at the end of the season. You know, that's certainly been brought into the mix in terms of, you know, that tournament going ahead. You know, decision was made, and you know, I believe it was the right one because we've got to get back to some kind of normalcy. Getting fans back into the stadium is key. Getting communities thriving, and we all know the great work Widnes have done in the community for many, many years. And you know, for them community people to get back into those communities, you know, get back into the schools, you know, it's all going to be better for the club. And you know, the sooner that happens, is you know, the better for me.
Yeah. So before I let you go, Ian, next three games, or sort of the next month really for Widnes, is actually quite important. Dewsbury at home on Saturday, then it's Batley away the following Saturday, then it's Swinton at home. And then because of the ongoing situation with France, the game away at Toulouse has been postponed. So yeah, Widnes would have a weekend off, which actually might not be the worst thing in the world, you know, especially ahead of back-to-back home games against York and Whitehaven. Dewsbury, Batley, Swinton, two of them at home. Surely you can't be looking at anything other than 6 points from six.
I absolutely agree. You know, it's got to be a clean sheet for me. If Widnes are to do anything this year, they've got to be dispatching those clubs. You know, come hell or high water, that has got to happen. You know, to add two of those games at home as well, they have to be deemed as bankers. And I know that Simon will be getting the players geared up to make sure that happens, and it needs to happen, because if you don't pick the 6 points up and you end up with 2 points from six, then that gives them a different complexion altogether. And they're all very, very winnable games. So I expect nothing less than 3 from 3 from those games, James, absolutely.
Well, thanks for joining us, Ian. Hopefully we'll call you back in a few weeks and things will have picked up, and we'll get your opinion hot off the press then as well.
Cheers, James. Thanks for your time.
So that's it for this week's podcast. We're out every fortnight, of course. The next one will drop on April 27th. I've caught up with former Widnes winger Justin Murphy, who some might remember a very memorable debut, which we'll go into in that episode. And of course, we'll have all the fallout, all the reaction from the upcoming games, including involving Widnes as well. Thanks, as always, to PD Law Solicitors, Arnold Gorse Financial Management, Parklands FC and Whistle. Stay safe. I'll see you next time.